All right. Well, welcome everybody to episode 3 of the Grumpy Guy BJJ podcast. We got Rob here with me again. Rob, what's going on, buddy?
Yo. What's Yo. Up, Dave?
Yeah, man. So another week. Just had Thanksgiving pass by. How was your Thanksgiving? You got to go over with a buddy of ours, and we made a special dessert. Yeah, that's right. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so our buddy Nate invited me over a couple weeks ago, and for some reason when he sent me that text, I replied back right away. Like, hey, you guys like pecan pie? I'll make a pecan pie. He's like, sure. And then I started thinking, like, I have never made a pecan pie in my entire life. Why did I decide to do this? So then I kind of went into panic mode, like, oh, shit. Yeah, let's do some research. So I started finding some recipes, and I made a practice pie a couple weekends ago. It didn't turn out too bad. And then, I made the official one for yesterday, and I didn't end up with food poisoning. I haven't heard any, I haven't gotten any nasty texts from Nate this morning or anything about food poisoning. So
no, it's good. Awesome.
I'll call it a success.
Good, man. Yeah. How's the rest of the dinner there?
Good. We had duck.
Duck? Ooh, that's cool.
I had duck and some asparagus and some sweet potatoes. It's pretty good, man.
Cool, man. Yeah.
How about you?
Just regular old family Thanksgiving. Had the turkey. Kelly cooked the turkey, man. It was good. Thanks, baby. and yeah, it was good, man. We had family over, so just we had a lot of sitting around with embarrassing comments from the parents here and there, so I'm sure everybody can relate to that. But you know, they're family, as my grandma always said, they are, so you gotta love them. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. It was good, man. But really the good news for me was I got to wrestle. And that was awesome. I was very thankful for that. I had to take like a little over 3 weeks off because I had a groin injury or just problem that turned into an injury, and finally I had to take time off. So it may have been over 3 weeks since I got in a role.
Has it really been 3 weeks?
Over 3 weeks. It was Adam. I went in and rolled with Adam. When Adam left his last class, I went in specifically for that. I rolled with him, and that was it. And I quit. I was like, I'm not rolling. And so, yeah, that was almost 4 weeks ago.
You were disciplined enough to not wrestle for 3 weeks?
I haven't wrestled for over 3 weeks, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, it hurt, man. Yeah. So, you know, I'm a terrible coach because I'm a great coach. I'm a terrible client because I don't take my own advice, you know. And so it was one of those things where I've joked with a couple people about this since then where, you know, you get an injury. So you modify your jiu-jitsu a little bit, and sometimes injuries can be an opportunity to, you know, just kind of learn something, you know, or there's always opportunities to learn things from everything. And so I tried modifying my jiu-jitsu, and so I started with, like, my right adductor was getting sore, and, you know, that's the one that everybody's always pushing down on when they're trying to open or close guard, they're trying to pass that way. And so I started trying to force things the other way and change my game up a little bit, not use closed guard as much, and so that helped. But then my left adductor started to hurt, so I tried to modify it again, and running out of options at this point. But you know, and then it just kind of got worse from there and turned into like a full-blown groin thing. And it was like, well, I can't really not squeeze. Like, squeezing is a pretty important part of jiu-jitsu. And so yeah, I just had to just admit that I had a freaking injury that I couldn't modify my jiu-jitsu around and let heal. So had to take the time off, but, you know, I still drilled and, you know, kept the mind busy with watching videos and trying to keep things sharp mentally that way. But yeah, man, it was tough. So I was so pumped to be able to wrestle yesterday and just, you know, yeah, there's nothing like it. I remember after that round that we had, I was just laying there staring at the ceiling, freaking, you know, breathing hard, ears are ringing, and just like, ah, dude, I missed this. This is like, this is so, you know. But so yeah, no, that was a lot of fun, man. It was good. It's a good time getting together with everybody rolling before Thanksgiving yesterday. But so yeah. So anyways, glad to be back. Gonna have to take it slowly getting back because I don't want to go through that again. Yeah. But the maximal mobility stuff, I mean, that stuff we talked in the first episode, I mean, I've been doing that stuff religiously since I got back from that seminar, and, you know, the frog stretch and just all those things. And so that's been helping a ton. So just every day spending time working on my mobility, which I did before, but never like as focused. Like now I've got like a routine that I do every day that goes through a lot of the stuff and you know, the muscle groups and areas and stuff like that. So yeah, just been focusing on that, and then some ISOs and some walking and stuff like that. And there you go. It's been my routine for the last few weeks. I couldn't even run, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you know it's bad, when you're like functionally, you're like, I remember, it's funny. Remember the original Fight Club movie?
Oh, of course.
Of course, yeah. Right? And I remember I'm sitting in the theater watching it, and this was back during my bodybuilding days. And I, not that I was ever a bodybuilder, I thought I was a bodybuilder, right? So you're trying to work out like a bodybuilder, so you're just beating the shit out of yourself thinking that that's a workout. And I remember having this moment where I was like, you know, like my legs hurt so bad right now from my leg workout that like Ed Norton character could have kicked my ass. And I just, I don't know, like there was that moment where like, this isn't functionally working for me here, you know? And so it's kind of like that where it's like, you know, it's just not, you know, functionally working for me. But, so anyways, so yeah, kind of lost my train of thought. They're talking about Fight Club. That's a fucking kick-ass
I was wondering, I was like, all right, man, what good life lessons are we going to get from Fight Club? Then it went off the rails a bit.
So. Yeah, just a bit, man. Yeah, I know. So yeah, whatever I was talking about, it had something to do with that.
It made sense. But, no, I would, I kind of had that experience recently, like on a smaller scale. You know, I'm a little bit banged up right now. And so I took, like, Sunday, I didn't do anything except for mobility. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, man, I didn't do anything, like, strenuous. I didn't go in and train. I didn't ISOs. All I did is I went to work, did my mobility shit. And Wednesday morning, I woke up, and I was feeling pretty good. You know, of course, I still got some injuries, but I did my ISOs. I did a, you know, a good session. I did, whatever. I did a good ISO session before. Man, I felt freaking great. Like, just like after I got done and was in my car driving to work, I was like, it just kind of hit, like, dude, I feel freaking good. Like, I took, it was 3 days off from nothing too strenuous. And sometimes you forget you just kind of need to do that. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you got to chill out once in a while. You just got to kind of let everything just kind of even out. And, you know, because I got a few little things I'm dealing with. And, man, just those 3 days was freaking nice, man. Like, I felt super good after doing a little session on Wednesday morning. And
yeah.
So, yeah. Sometimes you just got to stop being a meathead.
Yeah, trying to beat yourself up. Yeah, that's what it was. That's right. When I realized I couldn't run, I'm like, this isn't working. It was one of those moments where I was like, whatever I'm doing right now, my pro was not working. Like, functionally, like if Ed Norton's character came out and tried to kick my ass, I couldn't even run away. He can still kick my ass. So anyways, all right, so today on the podcast, we had a couple things we wanted to talk about that all kind of tie into each other. We were originally going to talk about like kind of competition and confidence on the mat, and then we recently had some promotions at our gym, some well-deserved promotions, and that kind of ties into it too, like kind of belt promotions and all those things. And so, because those things are kind of, you know, at least in my mind, they can get, you know, your the color on your belt can get a little fuzzy with, like, you know, is it competition or is it like, what is it that, you know, makes a blue belt or makes a purple belt or, you know, makes you ready for a promotion, you know? And so is it, you know, competition or is it, you know, something else? And where does your confidence on the mat come from with that? And so, you know, there's a lot of layers that get in when you start talking about stuff like that. So anyways, we just thought it'd be kind of a good subject to dive into today and talk about. So, and as usual, Professor Rob has notes. So,
hey, I saw you were taking notes this morning too.
I was trying to catch up literally like 30 seconds before we started recording the podcast. I'm trying to write some notes. And so my first note was like, what are we talking about again today? So I write that down and then like jotted one other thing down. So, that's my notes, but we got some, yeah. But so, Rob, start us off, man. What's, kind of what's your thoughts on the subject?
Man, where do we want to start with it? Yeah, since you just brought up promotions, we'll start there. you know as well as I do that no one is really ever ready for that promotion, for the most part.
No.
I mean, there's exceptions to the rule, but whenever you get
promoted, they're the outliers.
Yeah, when you get promoted to a new belt, you almost never feel ready.
No.
You know what I mean?
You got to grow into it for sure.
Yeah, there's some growing into
it. You choke on it for a month or
so.
Two
it gets
or more.
A little. It's a funny mindset to be in because you don't feel ready, but you got to trust in your coaches. They're not going to promote you just to promote you.
Yeah.
And
or they shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be. I mean, I'm sure there's gyms and schools out there that do that, but not here. I know it's a tough thing, man, because I've never felt ready for, you know, that next belt, you know, and I got promoted to black belt in February, and dude, I still don't feel ready for it, man. It's scary.
That's
So I don't have a good answer for it. You got to trust in it. You know, I think that's where it is you just got to believe and if your coach promoted you, you got to have faith that he's not just doing it to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
And if anybody knows Coach Kevin,
He's not
just doing things to be nice.
No, you gotta
that's not his. That's not his. You know, standard operating procedure. So yeah, you just growing into it, and I think that's it. You got to figure that out. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's there's growing into it is such a big thing, man. Yeah, I remember when I got my purple belt. It was hilarious because I got promoted, and I definitely wasn't ready for it because at our gym, stripes are a semi-regular affair.
Sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't.
You know, and honestly, that's kind of another thing, right? If you're after a certain point, like if you're doing jiu-jitsu for the stripes and you're doing it for the belt, like you're doing it for the wrong reasons, right? And so, like, stripes don't really matter as much, and everybody knows that, but there is like the traditional, you get four stripes and then you're ready for your next belt. And so I had actually at the time only had three stripes on my blue belt. I mean, I've been training for a while because, like I said, like Kevin doesn't hand things out just to be nice. Like, you earn whatever you get from him, which is great. But so I actually got my fourth stripe and then immediately got promoted to purple belt, right after
that.
You were there, man.
I don't remember.
Dude, we were there with Rolly. You were the only other one that knew. You said that, like, you're all, like, ready for him. You're like, dude, you should have seen the look on your face. Because I was like, I literally was like, I took a step back. Like, that was my reaction when like, Kevin, because he started talking about, like, belt promotions don't always make sense.
That's right,
because
he gave you, your stripe, and then he sent you back in line.
He sent me back in line. And then he just started giving a little talk about, like, belt promotions not always making sense and
that's
stuff
right.
like that.
That's right. I do remember
and
that.
And then he's like, with all that said, James, come here and get your purple belt. And I was like, literally, man, like, my reaction was to take, like, a couple steps backwards because I was like, what? Because I remember thinking, like, as I was getting my fourth stripe, I was thinking, like, okay, I still got, at least a few more months with you, baby. I'm talking to my blue belt and, got some more time together here. And so I literally that was my thought when I got my four stripes. So when he was like, come get your purple belt, I was like, no, what the hell? And so, I was not feeling like totally ready for it. And then, but again, like you said, like, I knew if Kevin was giving it to me and, our buddy Rolly was there. So I was like, if Rolly's like, obviously, I'm sure he ran it by him and Rolly, like, at least gave it a thumbs up on some level. Like, yeah, and so knowing that those two dudes were on board with it gave me some confidence. Like you said, like, yeah, my coaches are behind it. And so I kind of thought that, but immediately, like a month or two later, went to Lance's place to train for a couple, like a week. And Lance, our buddy, who's got a Conquest BJJ in Maryland, that place is full of killers, like, really high level jiu-jitsu, really great gym, great competition team. And so, I show up like with this brand new shiny purple belt.
Belt, all brand new.
Yeah, all brand new, like, not fully confident and ready, with it to begin with. And I show up and you're like the friend of the coach and everybody. And so, everybody was nice, but you know, it goes, like, people, they're going to train hard. Like, people show up to our gym and they got a little color on their belt and it's like, hey man, like, welcome to the gym. That's how you welcome people. Yeah. So I fully expected it, and it was great. But it was, man, it was like, I remember texting Kevin that after that first night, because I just was getting destroyed by omoplatas, and I was just like, we had like a freaking hour long text conversation into the night with like, you know, what do I do to get stop happening and blah blah blah. And you know, he was real good with giving me some advice, and so, but yeah, man, I remember just being like, oh shit, like, you know, because you don't want to let your coach down too. You don't want to be like, oh man, you know, people going to be thinking like, who gave this joker a freaking purple belt or whatever, you know? So you try not to think about it, but there is that pressure there too when you get promoted. So it does, it takes a little bit to kind of, you know, grow into the belt and do it, but just having confidence that it's going to happen. It's just like anything else in jiu-jitsu, you know, you just keep putting in the work, man, you know, chopping wood and carrying water and having faith in the process and knowing that like one day you're going to be like, okay, all right, like I'm comfortable with where I'm at and with my jiu-jitsu. And again, it's like, you know, it's such a personal journey with that, but it's hard when you start letting those outside influences talk to you too much, you know. But there's that balance, you know, because if you weren't motivated by that, because we were both reading this book, the Upside to Your Dark Side, you know, and so like if you didn't have like uncomfortableness in your life, like if you truly didn't care, if there wasn't anything that drove you to be uncomfortable, like you wouldn't care enough to try and become better, you know what I mean? So I tell people, like, because being a strength coach, man, I see it. You know, you show somebody a new exercise and they get frustrated, and I got to remind people, like, man, it's good. You're getting frustrated because you care. You just can't let the frustration turn into like anger and you know, self-pity and things that start to block the learning process. And realize that when that ego is whispering in your ear and you start listening to it, you're not listening to the lessons that you can learn from, you know, the situation at hand. And so, but so anyways, yeah.
No, I'm glad you kind of ended on that, like the frustration. You know, because we're talking about promotions, you see that with people. And that now is what I mean, like people maybe feel they're ready for the next belt or their next promotion and they're not getting it, and you see that they let it discourage them.
Yeah.
Which for me, I kind of have a hard time relating to that, you know, being an adult. Like, why are you so hung up on that? But I can kind of get it. Like, you know, we've seen it.
Yeah.
We've seen it personally. You know, both you and I have. And I've really tried to put myself in those people's shoes just to see where they're at. Like, you know, process what they're thinking. Why are they so stuck on it? Like, don't worry about that, man. You got to keep, you said, consistency. You just got to keep showing up. And just show up, put in the work.
Yeah.
And it'll come.
And trust your coach.
You got to trust.
It's like the opposite. Like if you got promoted, you need to trust that you were ready for it. And if you're not getting promoted, you need to trust that
you're not ready for it.
There's a reason, and you should be talking to your coach. You should be talking to the higher level belts that you train against, and be asking them, like, look, man, what do you see? What do you think I need to do? I think that's like, you know, an important part with that. But you know, that's being confident enough to ask questions and open yourself up, like assume that like you're wrong, you know, not that you're right and everybody's not seeing it the right way. So
no, that's important. I'm glad you said that. That's a good question to ask. Like if you do feel you're ready for that next belt and you haven't got it yet, ask your coach. It's like, hey man, I think I'm ready, you know, where are some holes in my game, what could I work on? Just, you know, ask those questions. You know, if somebody came to me and asked me that question, you know, maybe if I've trained with them a lot, I could give them an answer right away. But it might be one of those things to where I take that question, cool, let me sit with that for a couple weeks, let me watch you train, let me train with you, and then I'll give you some stuff to work on. You know, I think that would be a more honest answer, you know, because of course you can just, you know, give the basics, hey, you know, work on the basics, do this, you know.
Yeah.
But to really, you know, as you're getting more advanced in jiu-jitsu, you know, ask that question. If you really feel you're ready, ask that question. And also, you know, I was making this mistake when I got promoted to brown belt. Yeah, dude, I can't remember who I was talking to. I was at another school training, and I was talking to one of their black belts, and I had just gotten promoted to brown, and he overheard my conversation with a couple people in that gym that I just kept saying, I don't feel I'm a brown belt yet. You know, I'm not ready. I just kept, beating a dead horse saying, hey, I'm not ready. And he's like, I understand, you feel like that, but he's like, be mindful of you saying that or thoughtful of it, because it's almost, it could be seen as a little disrespectful to your coach. It's okay to feel like maybe you're not ready, but for you to just, constantly be like, oh, I'm not this level yet. That's, there's some subcontext there that's almost saying, I don't trust in my coach's decision to promote me. And I never thought about that.
I never thought about that either.
And he brought it to my attention, and I was like, oh, I am kind of being an asshole about that.
Yeah.
He's not just going to – in jiu-jitsu, people just don't get promoted.
No.
For, by and large.
For the most part. The further along you get.
And so it's okay. I think it's okay to feel like that. But like you said, don't let those feelings completely consume you and distract you from the goal, the lessons that could be learned.
Yeah.
That book is awesome. The Upside to Your Dark Side. You guys read it. I'll put it in the show notes or something. I'll type it in there. The author, I'm about halfway through it, a little bit more. Like, man, it's so good. A lot of us always run from those uncomfortable thoughts and uncomfortable feelings.
Yeah.
But there's lessons to be learned in those. And it's okay to get frustrated. It's okay to get up, angry.
Yeah, it's fun.
But you can't let that run everything.
Yeah.
You can't let that be what's running your operating system.
Right, yeah.
It's okay. Okay, if you're having some, for lack of, screwed up emotions or thoughts about something, it's probably because you're maybe not making the best decisions. That could be.
Yeah.
You got to think about that. Okay, why is this pissing me off so bad? Or why am I frustrated about this? That's all on you.
Yeah.
That's all on you.
Yeah.
Switch your perspective. Like, okay, this is pissing me off. Well, fucking do something about it, man.
Yeah.
No one's going to do something for you.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? If you come to me to help make, hoping I'm going to make you feel better, you're coming to the wrong fucking person.
Oh, I know, man. I know what you mean, man. It's almost like if you can get someone to admit that your situation sucks, that you win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't win anything just because I'm like, your situation sucks. Man, I'll be honest with you. I totally remember. I had to keep remembering that as a white belt, because I just kept getting freaking whooped on, and, it was definitely a frustrating process, but you just got to remember that you're putting in the time and the effort, and it'll pay off eventually. But so
it's a process.
Yeah, man,
it really is. And I think what we're talking about, it goes into where you see a lot of people that quit. A lot of people that quit, you see a lot at blue belt for some reason. That's like that trend, your blue belt time at blue belt before you get that purple. That crushes so many people mentally, emotionally. I have some ideas why. I think one of the big ideas I have is that your improvements stop being these huge leaps.
Yeah.
And it goes with anything. When you're learning a new skill, when you're first learning a new activity, whatever it is, your improvements are huge. Every day you show up at the gym, like, man, boom, you're level up. Boom, you level up. Boom, you level up. And then you start getting a blue belt, those jumps aren't nearly as big. And especially when you start getting towards the end of your blue belt, almost purple, those jumps aren't nearly as big. They're little tweaks.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a couple weeks to where, yes, you make some massive improvements, but then you're going to have weeks to where you kind of dip back down, where you're trying to learn some new principles or some new things, and you almost feel like you're going backwards. People that you used to just run through are now giving you trouble, but maybe you're meeting them in the different place of their curve. Maybe they're on this uptick where they're seeing jiu-jitsu better than you were, and they're going up, and you're having some trouble, so you're coming back down, and then it just frustrates people.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it happens.
It happens,
and it's
man.
A journey, man. Jiu-jitsu's not, it's not a sprint.
It's not a linear line
No,
either,
it's not
man.
A linear line. It's not a sprint. And you see so many people get frustrated with that, and it's
it's
okay to be frustrated, but channel that frustration, you know. Learn your lessons from it.
Yeah,
and just keep going, and just keep moving forward.
Yeah, you just got to not let it derail you, you know. So I think for me, it's funny when you're talking about, you know, not like the mindset of people quitting. Like, I was doing a martial art in high school. It was like a punching and kicking, like Taekwondo type martial art, and I actually did quit because I felt like my coach wasn't promoting me fast enough and my ego was kind of getting in my way. And yeah, man, it was funny. You know, I'm a freaking, you know, you're in high school. It's the ego's, I don't even know what the hell an ego is, you know, but I had started, there was another guy in the class is what it was. And he was a little bit younger than I was. And he had started a little less than a year before I had. And so, you know, but I was like, I was catching up to him and I felt like, you know, I was getting, you know, closer to him and I should be promoted to be closer to him. And, you know, my coach was, kept reminding me to worry about myself and work on the basics and stuff like that. And so, you know, there were other things going on. I wasn't just like, you know, I'm just out of here. It was like some other life situation things that made it a little difficult for me to keep going in. And I just kind of used that as an excuse. But really my real reason was I just had lost my motivation because I just let my ego and the promotions and the external recognition like drive why I was doing it. And I always regretted that, like looking back on it. So for me, like I have that to like kind of that failure, I guess, to look back on. And, you know, it's definitely like helped me in sometimes because it is a super frustrating journey. And you just have to like, I remind myself there's been times when I was just, you know, I'm like, man, you know, like you've been down this road before, you know, how that, you know, the freaking voice whispering in your ear doesn't have your best intentions at heart. You know, like you need to like just freaking recognize your ego starting to talk to you and tell it to shut the fuck up and just keep putting in the work, which isn't easy, you know, but it's just, that's the key, man. That's what it is. And just being open to, you know, radically open-minded is really like a tough concept for people because again, like they want to be defensive about themselves and their jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. And so, and this kind of like ties into competition a little bit because I think like competition is one of those things that makes that line blurry for a lot of people with the promotions because, you know, especially as you advance, like you'll find people who are really good at competing, but they're not necessarily like their jiu-jitsu is not well-rounded. Their jiu-jitsu is not real solid in certain areas. You push them out of their pathway and you start to find like, you know, holes and stuff in their game. And so, but people can get, you know, confused with, or, you know, the results, like they're like, man, I'm doing really well at competition. You know, why am I not being promoted faster when it's like, well, you know, when was the last time, you know, that you submitted someone from your back? If, you know, you're a really good wrestler and you take people down and just get a 2-on-1 from the top and Kimura people or whatever. And you know what I mean? And so there's like, there's that fine line between, you know, recognizing success at competition or not having success. Cause you don't have to be like a really successful competitor. I'm not a super successful competitor. I've got a perfect 500 record, which is my claim to fame really. So, you know, but I feel like my overall jiu-jitsu is pretty good. I feel like there's a difference between being a really good competitor and being really good at jiu-jitsu. And you have people that cross over both ways. And I think that, you know, you need to be good at, or you need, I think everybody should compete at least, you know, a couple times in their jiu-jitsu career, just because there's something to that experience and something to be gained from it. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think it can get fuzzy. I think especially at the lower belts, cause you're like, you know, white belt and blue belt, you know, again, you can get people that have like some sort of like really freak physical attribute, you know, they're super strong or they're, you know, super flexible or they're, you know, they've got something that's just, you know, really makes them a super outlier, you know, with some physical attribute or, you know, they've got a real heavy wrestling background if they're a guy and they're able to, you know, use that. And so you're able to have really good success, I think, at the early belts with relying a lot on those physical attributes. But as you progress, you know, you run into other freaks, and so the technique starts to become more important too. You know, it's like anything else. Like, you know, you can be a great local high school, you know, player, whatever, you know, sports player, and you know, as you get to the pros, man, it's like, well, everybody's that good, you know, and so you need to make sure you're filling in all these holes. But if you don't recognize that, like, wow, I was kind of getting by a little bit. Like I tell people coming in all the time, man, your biggest strength is going to be your biggest weakness. And if you don't recognize that early on, it's going to haunt you, because you're going to rely on that strength early on. And if you over rely on it and don't realize it, like, you're not going to develop other parts of your game. And then as you progress, you're going to find, like, wow, I got these giant holes I got to go back and backfill to get to the point where my coach is ready for me to be promoted to a purple belt or a brown belt or whatever it may be. So, I don't know, man. I mean, that's just kind of my thoughts. I've only been doing jiu-jitsu for 5 years. I mean, I do have a lot of experience working with, you know, high-level competitors in mountain biking. So I see a lot of crossover with kind of the mindsets and what burns people out who have early success versus people who are able to sustain the success long-term. And so there's a lot of carryover with the mindsets and stuff it takes with that. But you've been doing this for a lot longer than I have, man. You've got a lot more competition experience than I have. So what's your take on all this?
I agree that competition, I think it's important. I think it's really important, because you can not only just straight up test your jiu-jitsu to see where you're at, but it teaches you a lot about yourself too, because it's nerve-wracking.
Oh yeah.
You know, it is, because you're getting out there, you're challenging yourself, you're in front of people. No one likes to lose, man. No one likes to lose. It's a shitty feeling.
Dude, I tell people, like, I almost threw up for my first match,
man. Oh yeah.
Like, I literally, like, it was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. Like, dude, mountain biking wise, like, man, I've jumped like 40-foot, you know, doubles on my mountain bike, like dropped off big cliffs. Like, I've dropped into some gnarly stuff where, like, if things went wrong, I was going to get seriously physically hurt. And I've never been as terrified as I was before that first match that I had, man. It is a terrifying experience. But you're right, man. Like, knowing that you can do it, that, like, you can be terrified and walk out there and still do it, like, it just that right there was a victory. You know, it teaches you something about yourself. So, anyways, I didn't mean to cut you off. No, it is. It's terrifying. That first one, at least, for me.
That's funny. I think competition is important. But you have to have the right mindset and extract the right lessons from it. And it's okay to be nervous. You know, it's okay to lose, which it sucks.
Yeah, no one likes it. Lose. Especially in front of your teammates.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was just reading an article about, you know, fear and competition and trying to overcome it. And, you know, you say that was one of the points in the article. I think Felipe Costa wrote it. He was talking about, you know, you don't want to lose in front of your teammates, your family, your friends, and you put a lot of pressure on that. But he say that's ridiculous. Don't apologize to your teammates or anybody when you lose. Because, you know what? Yes, your friends, your family, your teammates, they want you to win. But if you lose, so be it. They're going to stop thinking about that about 30 seconds after that match, and they're going to go about their life.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
You got out there, you tried it. And I say this, you know, with the caveat that, dude, I'm struggling with it. You know what I mean? Like, I again, like you said, you know, at the beginning, that you're a terrible client because you don't take your own advice. Dude, I fall right into that. Because conceptually, I can see all these ideas, and I'm going to talk to you like I know what I'm fucking talking about. But I'm struggling with it. Like, so, you know, for example, so I got promoted to black belt in February, and then I went and did my first tournament in April at the Vegas Open at black belt, and that dude raped me.
Point rape is just
fucking point raped me, dude. He just toyed with me, and it was so. And I remember just laying there in bottom half guard, because is what the guy was doing. We would get to half guard. He would pass, get his points, and then he would let me put him back in half guard, pass, get his points. And about the third time in, I was like, motherfucker, he is just doing this to get it. And I didn't have an answer for it. Even though I could clearly see what he was doing, I was just getting manhandled. And I remember at one time I just laid there limp, just like frustrated. And Kevin's like yelling instructions to me. He's like, you got to do something. I was like, what the fuck you think I'm trying to do? You know, like, it's not that I'm not trying to do the right shit, but this guy just had, you know, he just was that much better than I was. And that fucked me up, man. Yeah. Like, dude, I have nightmares about that. Yeah. You know, and it's, I had plans competing in August at Masters Worlds after that. That was my next competition. I pushed out. I was a little banged up.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, man. Like, a hangnail would have fucking discouraged me from competing. Yeah. My I kind of fucked up my knee. I probably could have pushed through and competed. But I pushed out, man. Because, man, I was fucking haunted by that. It's, again, like, a couple weekends ago, there was a tournament in Denver. I had intentions of competing there. Fucked up my foot a week prior. You know, my ankle. And the intelligent thing probably wasn't to compete.
I will say your ankle is messed up. Yeah, my ankle. So it's probably smart you didn't. But
you know, because if someone was to grab it, dude, I just have to tap instantly. But part of me wasn't that upset. You know what I'm saying? Like that I got hurt, and I decided that maybe the intelligent thing wasn't to compete. But again, a hangnail probably would have fucking discouraged me. So I'm struggling with it.
Yeah.
So it is, man. It's fucking brutal, dude. I don't have the answer for it, you know?
Yeah, man, black belts in it. I remember we talked about this a little bit before, how it seems to me like, man, when you get that black belt, it's like starting all over a white belt again, like in so many different ways. But I remember that guy that you went up against, like, he'd almost been a black belt for as long as you'd been training or something like that.
No, I talked to him afterwards. You know, I forget the dude's name. He was a head coach at, like, Gracie Umada in San Diego or something. Super nice guy, but he came up and asked me, like, hey, how long you been black belt? And I told him, you know, a couple months.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you know, you didn't do bad. And he'd been a black belt for, like, 9 years or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's no excuse. Like,
here's the thing, though, is, like, you don't run into that at any other belt. You know what I mean? Outside of the rare sandbagging, you know, outlier here and there, you don't run into someone who's been a purple belt for 9 years.
Yeah.
You don't run into someone who's been a brown belt for 9 years. Like again, there's that outlier here and there, especially like someone who's been training hard and consistently. But you, as soon as you hit black belt, now you're in a bracket. Now you're at a belt where you can literally run up against someone who's been at that level for, you know, like you said, for as long as you've been training jiu-jitsu, period. And so it really seems to me like it's a whole nother world. Like you almost can't, you can't use your frame of reference from competing before becoming a black belt, competing at black belt. Again, I'm not there, so I can't tell, but I'm just kind of looking at like, you know, like you said, like, cause I know, man, like you're really good, but I have all the faith in the world that in 9 years, if you were to go back and wrestle that match and, you know, teleport the time travel, you from 9 years in the future back and put him in for you that only had it for a couple months, I'll bet it would have been a little different. He may have still won, but I don't think it would have been the point rapage that it was that gave you, like, nightmares. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like I said, I've been thinking about it. But
yeah, I think about it all the time. Like I said, I don't have an intelligent answer.
Yeah.
You know, because I can sit here and talk about it. You know, you brought up that, you know, early success can be great for your mindset, or it could really fuck up your jiu-jitsu, because I see that those physical attributes that will allow you to win, they will, man. If you're an athletic freak of some sort, like great endurance, you know, wrestling, strength, flexibility, whatever, though, I see it. Like, that'll carry you through. You can win a lot of white belt tournaments, a lot of blue belt. It starts leveling you out come purple.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, if you got a lot of athletic gifts, you can run through a lot of people at purple. And from what I've seen, once you hit brown and black, those athletic gifts start not to mean as much.
Yeah, if the technique's not there behind it.
The technique's not there behind it, they don't mean as much. And that's where I see, like, competition can be bad also, is if you're not self-aware enough to, well, why am I being successful? It's okay to enjoy being successful. It's fucking awesome, man. Get out there, win, learn.
Yeah.
That's great. But you are going to, most people, I say you, most people are going to learn more from their defeats and their mistakes than they are from the W's.
Yeah. Where's the famous Dan Gable story? He lost one match in college, and it's like, he's like, man, that's what drove me to be the freaking Dan Gable that ran through the whatever Olympics he was, where he didn't even get a point scored on, whatever. But it's like, yeah, man, you talk to high achievers, you know, in the sports world, and they obsess about their losses way more than they bask in the glory of their wins.
Like, you forget about the wins, man. Yeah, you really do. Like, I've been to a lot of tournaments, a lot, since I've been doing jiu-jitsu, and I've been to judo tournaments. As a kid, you did karate tournaments. Man, I remember very few of my wins, and I've won a lot of tournaments, man. I got a fucking box full of medals at home. Dude, I don't barely remember any of the matches I won. There's a few wins that are kind of stuck in there. But, man, some of those losses. Dude, I'm not exaggerating when I say I have nightmares about that dude fucking pointing at me. Like, once a week, I wake up in a fucking sweat just thinking about this goddamn guy who just letting me get put him back in half guard and passing. Like, I just fucking, man, it infuriates me, dude. And so, those stick with you, man. And I don't.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool talking about it. Because, like you said, you know, talking about Dan Gable example, like, you got to use that as your motivation. You know, when those losses, figure out why you lost. And those days you're at home and you're about to go to practice and you're fucking tired. You don't want to go. You can justify all these other. No. You remember how terrible that felt. And then you go show up to fucking practice, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely part of the arsenal, man.
Maybe that's my answer. I got to stay my course, you know? Fucking just be disciplined, you know? That way, when you show up to compete the next time, you checked all those boxes. You trained every chance you got. You ate properly. You did your extra shit. You did everything properly.
Yeah.
And then that'll help with the confidence. You know, you got to have that checklist. Because if you show up competition day and you're second guessing, well, did I train as much? How many practices did I skip out on just because I was fucking comfortable at home and just, you know, laying down watching TV or justifying it by, oh, well, I should do this. I should mow the lawn or whatever it is.
Well, yeah.
You know, whatever excuse you come up with. Yeah, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And did you check those boxes? And you show up competition day, you check those boxes. Like, yeah, I did everything I could.
Yeah.
So the result is what it is.
Man, that's a super important point, man. Because that's one of those, one of those habits of high achievers in really any field is they focus on the process and not the outcome. Like, because that's exactly what you were just talking about. Is like, you know, you can't control the outcome. The only thing you can control is the process going into the match. So, you know, if you did what you needed to do training, you did what you needed to do with your mobility, your strength, your nutrition, your sleep, you know, like, you know, and you should have a process. You should have it written out, like whether it's a checklist or just whatever it is, like, you know, you should have, something. I would recommend, like, you know, anywhere from at least 3, but probably no more than 7. Cause like 7, they've done, like, there's a book called The Checklist Manifesto where they looked at like what the most effective checklists have. Because if you start getting past 7 points in a checklist, it just starts to become too much. So anyways, anywhere from like 3 to 7 things that you need to do on like a daily or, you know, a weekly basis to train. And if you're doing those things, then like you said, one, you're going to have the confidence going in, like you did your homework, you did what you needed to do. And, you know, and you're like, that's what you're focused on. Like you said, now you can just relax and let the outcome be what it's going to be because, you know, you've done what you can. And I mean, honestly, you can't really control the outcome in the competition. So
yeah, you can't control your, so to speak, you can't control the outcome. No. All you can do is try your best.
Well, that was
checklist.
My last competition, I remember, or actually the last fight to win I was at, my first opponent, I was checking my brackets and I look and I'm looking at my purple belt bracket and I see old boy and I just happen to glance over at the brown black belt division and I see his name in that two. And yeah, and I'm like, oh my God. And sure enough, he was competing up as well. Like, he was one of these dudes who's like purple belt was like just, you know, falling off of him just to tatters. It's like, somebody just put a brown belt on this dude already. But yeah, man, you know, you can't, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? Like, that was my first match. I went on and won my next two matches. You know what I mean? But like that first guy, like, you know, maybe I let him get in my head or whatever, but I mean, let's be honest, like, the guy was really good. He won some matches in the brown black belt division. So, I mean, he was like really good and much more competition experience than I had and stuff like that. So there's nothing you can do about that. Right. And so like, if the
but
only,
it's hard, it gets it's your hard, head, man.
It does. But if the only thing you're doing is judging yourself based on the wins and losses, it's the wrong thing. Like, you're going to get to, you're going to focus on the wrong things because you're, you know, yeah, like I lost to that guy. And yeah, you know, I need to learn some lessons from it and stuff like that. But I knew I did what I could going into the tournament. I knew I gave it my best effort in the match. And so, you know, I was able to reflect back on it, because in the moment you're always going to feel upset, you know, and not happy with it. But, you know, you can reflect back on it and feel all right versus like you're saying, like if you didn't do everything that you could have done, you weren't, you know, dotting all those I's and crossing all those T's, and you know that, well, now when you're reflecting back on it, there's all these big what ifs, you know, like, well, what if I had done this and what if I had done that? And that's the stuff that, like, you know, you don't want to do. That's why, like, when the coach is saying, leave it all out on the mat, you know, like just freaking, because you don't want to get off the mat and go, what if, like, what if I had done this? And so, yeah, like focusing on the process more than the outcome, I think, is like huge. But I mean, that's like jiu-jitsu too. That goes back to the belt promotions. If you're focusing on the process, the outcomes will happen. And, you know, competition, it's fractal, buddy.
Yeah.
Everything small is just a representation of something big.
So then that could kind of let us shift gears. So what about, what's your thoughts on the people who do jiu-jitsu that really have no desire to compete?
Man, honestly, I'm all right with it. I don't know, man. I mean, that's, to me, and here's the deal, and this is something we've talked about before too, like, there's a difference between being a good competitor and being a good martial artist. And this kind of goes back to, like, man, you can be a great competitor, especially, like, you know, at the earlier belts, if you've got some freak attribute or you're really, really good at one thing, like you just got great triangles or and your setups are freaking spot on, like, you know, you can go pretty far with that stuff. But, you know, the, oh, what are we talking about again?
Martial artist.
Oh, yeah, martial artist. Yeah, so, you know, but that's your, so being a great competitor, but being, like, I think of jiu-jitsu, it's a martial art, right? And so you don't have to compete to be a great martial artist, you know? And as far as, like, and it's not even, you know, martial artist is an interesting term, because really it means, like, you know, martial, like, you know, being prepared to kill. Like, it's a freaking self-defense thing, right? And so, you know, to me, that's what jiu-jitsu is really about. And so, like, you know, we talked about this last time, like, we don't play points when we wrestle. We play pretend kill each other, and we don't really worry about points, and we understand them so we can use in competition, but that's not why we do jiu-jitsu. And so in fact, to me, the people who only do jiu-jitsu to compete and are obsessed with points,
they're
weirder to me than the people who have no desire to compete at all. Like, so that to me is like almost missing the boat a little bit more than like, I have no desire to compete. Now, like you said, I think that as a martial artist, there's lessons to be learned from competing. And even if it's just the ability to step on the mat and execute, and giving yourself the confidence that you can do that in a high pressure situation, that'll help your ability to, you know, in some sort of confrontation or something like that down the road. Cause again, like, that's, you know, looking at competition as a way to simply to train your ability to execute under pressure. Like, that's kind of part of the overall martial artist, I think, in the martial arts training. And so, but, you know, but I think that you can, you know, be really good with your jiu-jitsu and, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I have a hard time understanding the people who just compete and don't do it for the other reasons.
Well, I think there's nothing wrong with if you're doing it just to compete, but you are, if that's you, I think you're missing out on so many benefits. You know, basically, and kind of what we're doing this podcast for and these conversations is all about being a better person.
Yeah.
Just being a better fucking human being. You know, being the best you can be in all aspects of your life. And jiu-jitsu will help you do that. It teaches you so much about yourself. So I think that really needs to be the overarching principle of all you do. And competition is really just a little part of that.
Yeah.
And there's some great lessons that can be learned from it, like you touched on just now. That one is huge as far as knowing how you are going to react under pressure. Because most people will go through life never experiencing those competition jitters. I mean, there's other things in your life that are going to give you those same type of jitters where you don't know whether you're going to puke or shit your pants. You know, you get that weird feeling in your stomach. You got to pee all the time. Like, your match is coming up. And you got to run. You're running to the bathroom every 3 minutes. Like,
but it's different, though, than, like, regular competition, man. Because I've run track. I've done football and you know, other sports, mountain biking. And, you know, so you get those pre-competition jitters naturally. But, man, there is something grappling with another human being who's going to be right there in your face, you know, the whole time, that makes it so much, so different. So, like, I just kind of want to, like, point that out because, like, you know, if you're like, well, I've got a good competition background in, you know, something that's not a grappling sport, then, you know, no, there's a different level of ability to execute under pressure that you have to be able to do when you're grappling and in a, you know, kind of a confrontation type situation like that. So, but yeah, man, no,
yeah, that's just, and really that's just one of the many lessons that you're going to get from jiu-jitsu, not just jiu-jitsu competing, but Brazilian jiu-jitsu as a whole and that process.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just being self-aware and spending time thinking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
For some reason, that's, my mind's been there a lot lately, is I try to be a self-aware person. I'm always, you know, assessing, like, how was I behaving in this situation or in this conversation and blah, blah, blah. Like, but if you don't spend time thinking about that kind of stuff, you're not going to improve. And jiu-jitsu is just such a great vehicle for that. Because it's going to expose your bullshit weaknesses.
Yeah.
And it's going to take them front and center for you if you're concerned about it.
Right.
I mean, maybe not. And maybe you don't give a fuck. That's cool. But for most people that are sticking with jiu-jitsu, that's not the type of person you are. And so when you see those weaknesses come up, those faults, it's okay. But you just got to find that answer to them. And yeah, it's...
Yeah, no, that's a huge... That whole self-aware thing, I think, is really important. It's just... It's something that... I don't know. It's like it's essential because you have to... Like I was saying, like, you have to recognize what... Is the voice whispering in your ear, is that your ego, or is that really you trying to learn from the situation? So, like, when you're thinking about your jiu-jitsu, are you, like, kind of feeling sorry for yourself because, you know, so-and-so has been tapping me out a lot lately, and, you know, coach doesn't seem to be paying as much attention to me, and blah, blah, blah. Or are you thinking about, like, man, what am I doing? Like, okay, so-and-so has been tapping me out a lot lately with this move. Like, you know, I need to research this. I need to figure out what's going on. And you're, like, you know, running through that stuff. Another, like, you know, great Dan Gable line talking about, like, yeah, you've, you know, practiced a lot of freaking double legs, but how many have you done in your head? You know, like, how many, when you're just sitting there, how many times have you just run through the technique in your head? And that ability to just visualize and think about these things. Because I know, you know, you and I both do that, man. Like, you know, Kiele will catch me. I got, like, some distant look in my eye. Like, what are you thinking about? And I was like, oh, sorry. I was just, like, just thinking about some situation with Rob and just, you know, what I was doing. Whatever, and how you get out of it and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, kind of how you're thinking about it and approaching it and recognizing that like self-pity and things like that just really have no place in you know, this in the sport, because it's just going to hold you back ultimately.
And well, they have a place to a certain extent, as to you got to distill it down to the lessons.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the emotion that, like, again, like that initial emotion isn't bad. You know,
it's what you do with it, or how far you do with it,
right? Like, does frustration turn into self pity?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I guess, like, to me, like, I feel like kind of frustration is kind of that base emotion that people feel. And then it's like, okay, well, now you have a choice. Now you got a crossroads. Where are you going to go with this frustration? Are you going to, you know, just let it go over into the road of self-pity and making excuses and stuff like that? Or are you going to, like, because that's where the gravity of the situation naturally pulls itself. That's where our brains naturally pulls our thought processes towards this self-protecting, you know, pathway. Or are we really going to, you know, exert the mental energy it takes to freaking get that thing going a different direction?
And it's not even like the self-protecting pathway. It's the ego-protecting
right,
pathway.
Right, it's the ego, right? It's not the self.
The ego's protecting itself.
Yeah, itself. Not you, though, because you're not benefiting.
No, you're not. It's the ego is getting a little bit fucked up because you think you're ready for the next promotion or whatever, and you're not getting it. And so the ego starts coming in and is like, hey, you're not getting it because you don't have the best coach, or your training partner's like, you need to be at a different gym, or you need to do this or that. Your ego starts finding all these other reasons as to why you're not where you think you should be.
Yeah.
And it starts protecting it. And that's not it, man. Yeah. And, you know, so we're kind of getting back to like the promotions and the frustration, but I like that because you got to remember that your jiu-jitsu journey is your journey. It's nobody else's. And everybody's path is going to be different. You know, the time you spend at each belt is going to be different. Your competitions, your training partner, where you might move. You may have to change schools or coaches, you know, life circumstances. But it's your journey. That's bottom line. You have to remember that. And it's your job to get the most out of it. People can help guide you. You know, like, hey, try this or this. But when you get right down to it, it is your journey.
Yeah.
It's your response. And maybe you don't want to take that journey. But if anybody gets to, like, the blue belt level, you put that time in, especially get to purple belt level, and you quit there, you're going to be pissed off at yourself the rest of your life, dude.
Like, you will.
You quit a fucking tremendous journey to make you a better person. It's really cool when you're better at strangling people, man. It's fun. It's fun. So much fun, dude. But there's so many more lessons that get learned in that, and you got to figure that out. And if you quit or get frustrated because it's not going the way you want, it's not nobody else, man, but you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the big thing. It's kind of funny we just kind of came back to that because we were talking about the frustrations. And yeah, dude, it's your path. Like,
yeah.
That's it.
I know, man. What in the Book of Five Rings, Musashi talks about that. And he's, you know, a couple of places. And one of them, he talks about like how, you know, without constant study and practice, how can you ever acknowledge yourself as your own supreme master? And I remember I read that when Pimento was here, and around our gym we've got this famous story about me asking Pimento about what I needed to work on with my jiu-jitsu, because we had a chance to wrestle. And Dennelson Pimento, if you don't know who he is, you should look him up. Just freaking one of these, you know, demigods with his jiu-jitsu, just freaking so good. And he says, I don't know. I don't pay attention to that when I roll. He's like, you know, he didn't mean it in a bad way. He meant like, I'm focusing on myself. He's like, I'm not letting you do things. So how do I know what, you know, what you need to work on and what you can do? And he had this quote, like, you know, he followed up with like, if everyone would just worry about themselves, everyone would get better. And it's like that's it, man. Like, if everyone would just worry about themselves, like, you know, like if you're focused on yourself and your journey, and yes, you can use other people to help you on that journey, but, you know, ultimately you have to focus on yourself. And if, you know, and again, like we talked about, like how coaching can be a selfish thing, right? So like, I can focus on myself and coach people in my gym to get better, because the better training partners that I have, the better I'm going to get. So, you know, that can still be part of me focusing on myself. But when you start focusing on everyone else or other things, like, you know, why isn't my coach, you know, helping me get better? Why aren't my training partners better, like you're saying? And that's when, you know, because he travels around, you know, training with blue belts and purple belts, and he's training to, you know, go against these super high level black belts that are training to kill, choke him out. You know what I mean? Like, he's at the top of the frickin' heap, and he knows it. And that was kind of his point, is like, you know, how can I find ways in my current situation to train and do the things I need to do to be ready for those guys, you know? So, like, you know, I'll come in and I'll be like, I'm going to work on this today, or I'll know someone's really strong with this, so I'll let them get me in that position so I can work on getting out of it. But I look around and I figure out what can I do with my current situation, never making excuses, going like, dude, look at this school. Like, you know, I got like just a bunch of freaking white belts and blue belts and a handful of purple belts. And, you know, this, you know, and it's easy. It would be easy for him to make excuses because we're nowhere near his level of jiu-jitsu. And the fact that he can find ways to, you know, focus on himself and continue his journey and stuff like that, it's in those situations. I don't know. I just kind of found it like really inspiring. It was one of those talks that like really like flipped a switch in my head and got me to look at things a little bit differently. But yeah, I think it's what it comes back to, man. Like everything that you need is already inside of you.
It's there.
It's there. It's right. That's another way like Musashi described it. Like, you're not trying to add anything to yourself. It's already there. You're trying to chip away the unessentials. You're trying to chip away the bad stuff so that only that stuff is there and only that stuff is what you're accessing. But it's already there, right? And it's, so ultimately, it's not up to your coach or your teammates and stuff like that to get you through this journey. It's up to you to get you through it. And so, but, you know, like I said, if everybody focuses on themselves, then everybody will get better and you're having good training partners as part of that. So again, it's not being a dick about it. That's what's funny.
People hear that and they'll think, oh, that's being selfish, but it's not. No. Yeah, you know, I've had this conversation, like when you're just talking about like health and nutrition, you know, because you'll hear, you know, everybody, you know, if somebody comes to you and asks you about like diet advice or whatever, and they're like, well, I don't have time, you know, to, you know, prepare meals like that. I got to worry about my kids. I don't have, you know, I got to worry about my family. I don't have time to work out. No, like you make the time for that. That way you can be the best person you can be for your loved ones. You know, I was reading a book by, you know, goddamn, I wish I could remember. Would have better notes, I would have wrote it down. But he talked about that. Like you do. You got to be selfish in those certain things so you're not giving your loved ones a half-assed version of yourself.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing when you just carry that over into the jiu-jitsu world, your training partners. It's your journey. It's on you.
Yeah.
Make the best of it and get the most out of it. And if you do that, you're just going to be a better training partner for all your teammates.
Yep.
And you know, and that's going to make them better.
And then
it's just an awesome circle. Yeah. And it just gets into everybody is just constantly getting better. You know?
Yep. Yeah. I think that's what's cool about our gym, man. We're super lucky with our, like, we've got some really, really good jiu-jitsu for such a small gym and kind of in the middle of nowhere here in Grand Junction. But that's the vibe at our gym. You know, obviously Kevin's helped set that, like just being open to bring other people in and being open to other styles and you know, just being friendly with people and helping the new people come along and grow. And so, you know, we've had some people that we've seen go. I mean, dude, I mean, you've seen me. I still remember you as Purple Belt Rob at Gracie Baja, man. And I mean, you've seen me go from like a frickin' complete spaz to just like a half spaz, you know? So it's cool to see that, but like that doesn't happen. We're talking about it's up to you to do that, but with a sport like jiu-jitsu, it's really hard to do that in a vacuum. I mean you know better than anyone, man, because I mean you've got stories about how hard you had to work to continue your journey with jiu-jitsu, because like you didn't have coaches all the time. Like you do need another body. Like, it's really hard to progress in this journey if you don't have training partners and a good coach, and so or at least access to anything. And so it's like, yeah, it's two sides of the same coin. It's like you have to have both, but yeah, man, it's definitely an interesting journey. So anyways,
I don't know, man. I think we covered that pretty good.
I think we were done, man. Yeah, you got anything else on your notes over
there? Let me see if we forgot anything.
Checking.
No, man. We more than covered everything.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I mean, I think, just overall, just kind of keeping it all in perspective. And I think for a lot of people competing, you know, especially like new white belts and stuff, it's a lot of it's just keeping it in perspective and know that it's all right to be nervous. It's all right to lose, you know, and just kind of, I think for a lot of, you know, just like my last thought on it was, for some people, you're going to have to look at it going at it in stages, right? Like your first competition, it's just, man, can I step on the mat and not completely panic out and, you know, not
that's
worry
a
about
the, that's,
oh,
a
that's
a
win
right
there, yeah, right? Like that's a win. So it's like scaling, like what's a win for competition, you know? And so, and then as you progress, it's like, okay, well now can I go out and like, okay, as you get into blue belt, well, you start to develop a bit of an A game. Like you get some things. Okay, well, can I force my A game on people and execute it? And you know, and so like it kind of progresses. Like as you get experience and as you progress with your jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. So it's like anything else. Just keep it in perspective and not letting it get in your head the wrong way. Either seriously discouraging you. Or perhaps encouraging you in ways that aren't actually, you know, beneficial for your overall jiu-jitsu journey. But, man, it's tough. I mean, it goes back to the frickin' this meme I saw where it's like, you know, jiu-jitsu is for everyone, except for after the first few months, it's only about good for half of them. And after a few years, it's only good for a few rare savages. I mean, that's about it, man. It's just like we talk about this stuff and it's easy to talk about. But man, it's not easy to do.
No, it's not. I think that screws people up too. I won't try to talk too much longer, but so you screwed that. Why a lot of people quit? Because people need that motivation. So they have the motivation. They train for a competition. Then all of a sudden, like they stop competing. So they're like, "Well, why am I training?"
Yeah.
And dude, that's really discouraging when I see that. You know, someone just doesn't have that inner drive or motivation just to train, just because you enjoy it. It's fun. You're becoming a better person. You're hanging out with your friends. It's fun. So you don't always need to have that, you know, training for a certain competition, because that'll peter out on people too. That'll be another reason why you'll see people quit.
Yeah.
Because they don't have that inner drive.
They get all motivated.
They're all motivated and then they can stay on point with everything and they stay disciplined in, you know, all areas of their life, and they get to and then they stop competing and then everything just kind of goes to shit.
Yeah.
Ooh, and then that starts tying into, like we've mentioned before, and we're going to mention a million fucking times, is how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah.
You know, just because you don't have a competition in the near future, that doesn't mean just go off the rails and eat like shit and be lazy. No, man, just stay the course all the time.
Yeah.
And
it's just been part of, like, your lifestyle.
Yeah, just
like,
that's made, it. Yeah, that's, and that's exactly what it is. Jiu-jitsu is that journey. It's that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And competitions or promotions, they're all just little parts of the journey.
Yeah.
You know, they're the little peaks and valleys, you know. They're like, oh, cool, a little win here, a little loss here. But they're all on just that path.
Yeah.
And they're just little exits off the highway, and you just got to get back on the highway and just keep cruising, you know.
Keep cruising, man. Yeah. There you go. So you answered your own question. You feeling more confident?
No. I'm still going to have nightmares about that dude fucking raping me, so.
It's all right, man. It's all good. I'm sure it'll pass in a few years. So.
A few years. That doesn't give me any confidence. I was hoping you're going to be like, oh, a few months, you'll have it sorted out. Oh, no, it's a few years.
Yeah, you know, I'm confident. So, well, cool, man. Well, I think that's it. Anything else on your mind before we let these people go?
No, I'll put that book in the show notes. That book has been awesome. You suggested to me. Yeah. The Upside to Your Dark Side. I'll put it in there.
Yeah.
Read it, man. That's freaking.
It's really good. Good it's book, good. Dude. I think a lot of, again, not the at the core of it, right? Like, I think a lot of it is that we label emotions. So, like, you feel frustrated or angry or whatever, and we don't realize that it's just like this internal, like, radar going off, alerting us that, like, hey, something's wrong. You just need to figure out what's wrong and how to fix it. And so, yeah, like, that's it is. It's really good. Like, getting your mindset right. Like, I think people feel like they shouldn't feel this way. Or they don't realize, like, why they're feeling this way. So, yeah, it's for me, it was a really good book. I'm glad you're liking it, too,
I'm
man.
I'm really digging it.
Yeah, we'll probably, like, it, we'll probably talk about it more. We might even do a podcast where we kind of dig into some of the stuff in it. But yeah, well, cool. Yeah, we'll get that on the show notes. And, again, you can find us on Podbean. You can find us on iTunes. Leave us a comment or review if you don't mind. Definitely helps things out. And
keep an eye out for stuff. We're recording some things today.
Recording some videos. Yeah, we're gonna get multimedia here and start doing some Grumpy Guy BJJ
some little drills, all kinds of exercises and stuff.
So yeah, we talk about a lot of stuff. So we'll show you guys some of what we're talking about with it. So we're gonna go do film some stuff right now. But yeah, we'll get together next week. And do we know what we're talking about next week?
No,
all right.
But we don't know what we're talking about, but we will be here every week.
We will
this
be
is
here.
Important to me, like consistent.
Oh, yeah. And no. We'll
it
be
might
here
change,
next week.
Though. I was going to tell you, it might change because right now we've been recording on Thursdays. Today's Friday.
Yeah.
You know, due to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yesterday. That might change. My schedule might change next week.
Yeah, that's
fine. We might have to start doing Fridays or something. But
we'll do it. Yep.
Giving everybody an ear beating every that's week. Right, every consistently. Week. It may not be great, but we will be here every week.
That's right. So I could be wrong, but I think that we cut down on the UNOs pretty significantly.
Oh, I'm sure there was something else.
I'm sure there is, man. But
yeah, I will.
That last episode, I thought we were going to set a fucking world record. we are trying to get better, folks. Is the take home message here? So we're paying attention to ourselves and trying to improve.
It's a process, just like we talked about. It's a process. Like, keep showing up, man. Just keep showing
right.
up.
So yeah. So anyways, yeah. No, we appreciate the support, everybody. And you got any questions or comments for us, you can find us at grumpyguybjj.com and grumpyguybjj@gmail.com.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. If you go to
Twitter,
Facebook. Instagram, Facebook, type in grumpyguybjj. It's all in the early stages. There's
not
a
still
whole lot
getting
there
it going.
Yet, but it's there.
It's there. It's there. So
and
yeah.
If you guys want to get a hold of us or berate us or compliment
right.
us either way.
That's right. And remember, if you're ever in Grand Junction, you got a place to train. Hit us up and we'll get you in. So, cool, Rob. It's fun once again. We'll go film some videos and we'll talk to everybody next time.
See you.